down here in Las Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube for making it all possible. JiffyLubeCA.com. Hour number one in the books. Get your coupons there online. Let Jiffy Lube take care of you like they take care of us. Dave, Katie, and Nate here till tomorrow and then back home on Thursday.
Now, Dave, I know you do Jiffy Lube all the time, right? And they're generous enough to pay for our travel to be able to cover things like Summer League and a number of other things, Super Bowl, so on and so forth. The list goes on. But I've been going to them for years. Did you not know that you can go into Jiffy Lube at any time and get like a free top off of everything? Because I have like my car is older and so it burns a little bit of oil. So in between, and I get it changed every 3,000 miles, in between I'll go in for a top off because my oil will get a little bit low.
Of course I knew that, Katie. Everybody does.
Well, I don't think you did.
And if they didn't, there you go.
But it's like everything is your washer fluid. It's all your fluids. But you didn't know that.
It's your free.
You're lying.
Well, headlight fluid. They
yes.
Fill you on that.
Either too. A, I did know that.
You're so.
Or B, I didn't know that. And you just called me out with one of my endorsements.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the difference. Horrible. It's important for me to know this because my car obviously burns a little bit of oil.
Huh.
You have a new car. You probably don't have to deal with the same things that I deal with.
Well, no, not yet. But, you know, in addition to the top offs, you go in there, you get phenomenal customer service and fantastic coupons online. So, hey.
And I like a good coupon.
Check them out today. Yeah, you are a coupon.
I like
flipper.
A good coupon.
DeMarcus Cousins spoke to you and he talked. There's a number of things kind of to pull, even though it was a short visit. One thing that popped out to me at least.
It had to be the background noise. The game had just started
in
the second half. So it was like, ugh.
He talked about how he, when he goes around the Olympic team players and he is around them and plays with them, he comes back a different person, and he can't explain why. Now the seemingly easy and logical explanation I think would be, well, because you're around the best players and the best usually professionals.
Rising
in the
tide
game.
Brings all the ships.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be the explanation there. And when you talk about the Olympic team players and then him and Tim Duncan, I mean, those are some phenomenal examples that I think a lot of us, at least, not necessarily play-wise, because he does just fine playing, but, you know, the attitude and everything that goes on, the emotions. Great, great examples.
Here's my thing. Where he doesn't understand it, I actually feel like I have a better grip on it, maybe looking from the outside. DeMarcus has only been in Sacramento in his career, and we can all agree on the fact, and this is not a hit to anybody, we can all agree on the fact that Sacramento, since he has been here, has been all over the place.
Tire fires
are fun.
Yeah, good point.
There's been all kinds of changes, drama, so on and so forth. And when you come in, and I've said this, you know, just talking to fans that I see, you know, that people stop and want to talk about DeMarcus all the time. You guys know, and I'm sure you get it as well. My thing is, coming in, everyone knew that he was a little bit hot-headed, maybe volatile, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think that, you know, we talked about it yesterday with Matt Barnes. There is some good in this as a player. You kind of want that fire. But when it's complete and utter chaos for your entire career, it's hard to curb that. So I think it's different when he's with the Olympic team because he doesn't have to deal with all of these external things, things that have kind of built up in the aggravations and so on and so forth.
If your point's very well taken, Katie, in the sense that And we all know that the Kings are trying. Nobody doubts that the Kings, and I'm talking about ownership, badly want to win. That's not what you're saying, and that's not what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying that since he came here, which was a different ownership group, this is now a new ownership group that, guess what? Oh, there's my thing.
Yeah, she can't even.
Now, guess what?
Guess what? Now, you know what? Now I know it.
We told Katie yesterday, we were talking about crutches on the radio, and Katie's are whatnot, and guess what?
Guess what?
Those are yours.
Okay.
So now we're on her now.
Being aware of it, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the point is, it's not taking a shot at someone DeMarcus has not had the success that we would like him to have in his career. To have him around a culture of guys that are his peers, talent-wise,
sure,
I think is very important.
About the situation in Sacramento right now, it's a new ownership group. It takes a while for things to work themselves out. You come in owning a professional franchise, sports franchise, for the first time ever. It's not going to be ironed out from the get-go. There has been there's been a learning curve for everyone involved. There's been turnover in the coaching staff, the front office. They're trying to figure it out on the go. And the players are the ones in the meantime, and DeMarcus Cousins, you know, included in this, and obviously the big one, he's been through all of it. He's one of those guys that has been through all of the valleys and the peaks.
There's two sides there. Number one, since 2010 when DeMarcus Cousins has been in the league, nobody has been through more craziness with both on and off field activities with a team than DeMarcus. Nobody in the NBA. And I don't even think it's close. Nobody has had the amount of teammates. Nobody's had the amount of coaches. Nobody's
threats to leave.
Jason Thompson, the relocation.
Jason's over 100 teammates. Jason's the only one.
He was the longest tenured king.
He's the only one you could talk about. Guess what? Jason Thompson in the playoffs last year. Guess what? See, I'm picking up on what you're doing. DeMarcus has never been to the playoffs. He's dealt with the relocations, the coaches, the players, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that being said, and as the one of the biggest full-throated DeMarcus defenders, admittedly, that there are, I'm saying.
Use your full throat.
Thank you. All the throat. DeMarcus has also contributed to some of these issues as well. Let's not forget that. He has not been a total angel.
Nope.
But to kind of hop on your point, and everybody can use this in their own job, all right? We'll apply it to ours. Let's say that we worked at a station where everybody sucked, and no, really.
Let's just hypothetically let's say that
we never because every other show sucked but ours. Okay, that we never had ratings. We were always bottom of the barrel. We were a joke. Every time there were articles written nationally about radio stations, they would always make fun of us, even though we tried our best and did our thing and actually got good ratings. We personally got good ratings, but
our stats were nice.
Our stats were amazing. We're like consistently top five in the market, okay? But we did not show the ability to pull the rest of the station with us. They all suck. D-Lo and the middays, horrible. They're like rated number 90. Grant, number 150. They're terrible. But yet we're top five. So sure, our individual numbers are great, but our ability to bring the team up, so even though our numbers look good, we get blamed for it. Then, once a year, we get to go for a week, and we get to go to New York City because we were selected to the Radio All-Star team. And we get to work in New York City at the best studios with all these other shows where there's like amazing talent everywhere. And we spend a week working with these people in this dynamic, awesome environment. And because back home, our boss, which is our eighth boss in 3 years,
that's true.
When we come back, and again, everybody can apply this to their own job, whether you work as a car salesman or a doctor, whatever, same thing. If you made an all-star team after being around sucky people all year long, and you came back after a week, are you kidding me? You'd be like, a whole new world. Like, you go out there, be like, wow, this is how it can be? This is what it's like? Other people can carry the ball for me? Oh, my God, I don't have to do everything, and everybody does their job, and there's stability?
There's also something that we haven't mentioned quite yet in regards to this. I think a big component of it also is that for Team USA, DeMarcus is not top dog.
No, that's a huge part of it.
He's not top dog, and a lot of the pressure does not fall on his shoulders. There's the element when you are the best player for your team and your team has had no success, and you mentioned it, never been in the playoffs.
Sure.
These are the things that will always be tied to his NBA legacy when it's said and done. If he never makes the playoffs, that's going to be, it's like Charles Barkley never winning a ring, things like that. Is that his fault? No, not 100%.
No. No, it's certainly not.
So you understand the frustration.
But in basketball, more than the other two big sports, baseball and football. In basketball, one player can have more of an effect than the other two.
Where were we going?
What do you mean?
With the comparison.
What comparison? You mean like the
basketball,
radio station
football?
Thing?
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, and we got a break here, to understand DeMarcus's, what he's saying, how he comes back a changed person.
Gotcha.
I think everybody that's involved in a negative atmosphere that goes to an insanely positive one for a glimpse comes back understanding what success looks like and wanting to apply that to your own crappy situation. We'll take a break. We'll get into Summer League more when we get back. We're live in Vegas for Summer League. Thanks to Jiffy Lube right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Now, for me to be singing the praises of DeMarcus Cousins is not news. I'm a giant purple glasses wearing homer, and I love the guy, and I admit there are wrong things with him, but I generally side with him. But Nate is a far more, and I'm not being.
He always plays devil's advocate.
But I'm not trying because and you're right, but I'm being very careful not to pin that on him here because that gives the illusion that, well, Nate feels this way just because everyone else feels the other way. And no. His points more often than not are not just being devil's advocate. They're very legitimate concerns and in many cases cut through my blatant homerism.
Really, though, allow
a balance. And Katie, you're kind of more in the middle on both sides. Mm-hmm. So it's a good balance. So Nate brought up and you guys were talking about this outside. About DeMarcus Cousins, and it rang with me because I generally wouldn't expect this, about how, say what you want about him, but maybe we should give him some kudos for being, whether he handles it properly or not, by tweeting out, God give me the strength during the draft. I'm trying to remember. I think he's
that's
been
such a good tweet. It is.
Yeah.
He's been at Summer League, if not every year of his career, almost every year. He comes down to Summer League every year. Now this year he's down here for the Olympic team and they've been living down here for the last month or so. But last year, the year before, he flies down and he watches every single game. Last night and the Friday game or Saturday game, he sits right with the fans. Watches the games, takes his mental notes, talks to the players, goes back in the locker room during halftime. That's his way of kind of feeling out the rookies. And for all the flaws and faults that he has, I think there is something commendable in this day and age, especially coming back off of what we just talked about in the last segment about all the stuff he's been through and how many tough roads this franchise has been on. He's never asked out. He's re-signed and I'm telling you right now,
he wants to be in Sacramento.
He wants to be here. He wants to win here. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He takes an active interest in the offseason moves, and he scouts his team. And no offense to any other players on this team,
but
they're not down here. And they weren't down here, a lot of them, last year or the year before. They're not watching every minute of every game and sizing up the rookies and talking to them. And for me, as much as he deservedly gets for his antics and his attitude and his yammering on the floor and all that, which is all deserved, I think it's okay. And, Nate, you brought this up. I think it's okay to say, you know what, though? There's also this side where you want to talk about leadership. To me, that's leadership. That's taking a stake in your team, period, end of statement.
The fact that he still cares after 6 years of, and, you know, for all, because I know we're going to get this text, spare the nonsense of the paycheck. You know, like, it doesn't matter how much you get paid. Like, even those of us making five figures a year, we get paid to care too. But you can't tell me that after 6 years of just not knowing what's going on, you know, whether it's, hey, are we going to be in this city next year? Like, who's going to be owning us? What's our coach's name going to be? Do we have a GM? You know, 6 years of just instability and no idea what's going on.
What's the approach to the draft? How is that supposed to help us?
Credit for giving a damn still. Like, I think it would be really easy in his situation to be like, dude, the check is signed. I'm putting up 25 and 12. Y'all do what you want.
I'll be on an island until October.
Right. Like,
Don't call me.
I've done my part for 6 years. Like, you guys do whatever, dude. As long as someone's signing my check, I'm good.
That is a commendable thing. That is a commendable thing in my personal opinion.
That's what
because
I do. Then again, I would have taken my first check and retired. So
at this point, what is it? 6 years into this for him.
It's done with six, going into seven.
Going into seven, yes. 6 years of what has been going on in DeMarcus Cousins' NBA career. At this point, he could very easily, and I think there are probably, you can come up with a list of NBA players that have done this, could very easily collect his paycheck, not take an active interest in who they're bringing in free agency, who they're drafting, how that's supposed to help. He's trying to understand how they're trying to make this team better.
Could have also very quietly orchestrated a trade about 70 times.
Yes, absolutely. But he could just be like, oh, I'll collect my paycheck and get my numbers, and I'm doing my job. But the one thing that you cannot argue with, whether or not you like DeMarcus or not, you cannot argue with the fact, and George Karl said it all the time, and we know how strong that relationship was.
Sure.
DeMarcus wants to win. At the end of the day, that is what he cares about. him being a two-time All-Star, him being probably the best big man in the league, that's not all that matters to him. I'm sure it matters a little bit, but that is, it's minuscule in comparison to the one thing that he hasn't been able to do in his NBA career, and that is win, and that is what he wants.
We'll continue this topic, and we can take your phone calls at 339-1140. The text line already lighting up there a little bit, too, with differentiating opinions on DeMarcus and what we're talking about here. And from the 209 before the break, asking me to finish the thought, because you're right, I didn't. It sounded like I said I was going to guarantee he'd re-sign, and then I stopped real quick. I will say this. If DeMarcus Cousins, in my opinion, if DeMarcus Cousins was handed another max deal, which is what he will command, mm-hmm. barring injury,
right.
today, for the next 4 years, he would sign it immediately. Now, I can't tell you over the next 2 years that 2 years from now, DeMarcus Cousins is going to guaranteed re-sign, but I do feel strongly here. If DeMarcus Cousins is not here in 3 years, it's not going to be because it was his decision. He wants to be here. He wants to win here.
It's 7:28. Time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit Gambos.com for a free online estimate.
We'll get into a big King sweep now when we get back, all the way up till 8 o'clock. Commercial free. That's right. Sports talk for you. As we talk about our thoughts on Summer League, we'll get into the young rookie, Big Papa. And as people are now starting to call him that, the teammates
are starting to call him
Papa, not
also,
GP.
Another rookie had a pretty good game yesterday.
Who?
Levisier.
No, I was setting you up. We'll tell you
Damn
when we get
it.
Back. Dang it, Katie. She got the first one perfect.
Hey, that's why. I know.
Nobody's going to listen now.
Of course they are.
The home of the King Sports 1140 KHDK.
Jeez.
Want to remind you guys to listen not just to us, of course, but Grant Napier. And please do
the
listen
Napes.
To the lowdown. Yeah, everybody. But July 12th through the 18th, that's today through the 18th, we got four packs of tickets to the American Century Championship Golf Tournament. We'll give those away in the 8 o'clock hour. That's the 22nd through the 24th of this month up at beautiful Edgewood, Tahoe. Tons of stars up there. Jerry Rice, Steph Curry, Charles Barkley, Justin Timberlake, Aaron Rodgers, and a ton more. Been there many, many times. It's an absolute blast. The weather is cool. The athletes are accessible. And Granby broadcasting up there starting next Tuesday.
The number of times we have discussed either on air or off air, Justin Timberlake in the last 24 hours. It's pretty amazing because we talked about him yesterday on the show because Scott Marsh had his picture taken with him at UFC 200. And then when Nate and I were at dinner last night, we had a conversation about Justin Timberlake as well.
I had an off-air conversation with Scott Marsh about Justin Timberlake. I'll share with you on air now.
Okay.
Remember yesterday we were making fun of the picture because Justin
right.
Timberlake didn't look like he didn't want to take a picture.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was just kind of like, hey, I'm Justin Timberlake.
Like right. he's tired of 40-year-old male groupies.
So I posted the picture, and then Scott, who's a nice guy in the world, he texted me. He's like, hey, is there any way you could take that down? I'm like, why? Oh, my God. I thought you would have shared it. That's
right.
a great picture. He goes, yeah, he just didn't look like he was having much fun.
Oh, Scott.
I felt bad.
Scott's so funny. I can picture him saying
he's
that.
He's such a sweet guy. I'm like, Scott, who cares if he was doing neener, neener, neener at the camera, dude? You're with Justin Timberlake. Come on, guy. He's like, you know. Like,
well,
all right, no
here,
problem.
In his defense, the picture you posted yesterday when I was over in the corner interviewing DeMarcus, it looks like neither one of us are enjoying
no,
it.
No, it didn't at
but
all. It looks like you're
like,
telling everybody to stay away with your hand.
Well, I'm a hand talker. But I had my hand under my arm that I was holding my phone with, my recorder, which, again, we haven't mentioned this on air.
Hand
but
talker.
Katie's phone is missing. And
oh, yeah.
The
yes,
anxiety,
it is.
The anxiety this morning as the show has gone on is building a little bit.
She's beside herself this morning.
You know what? I'm not, though. Because
no, you're actually doing really well.
If it were you.
If it were me, I wouldn't be here.
We would have had to call the ambulance.
No, I'll tell you right now.
Stroking out
I wouldn't
right now.
Be here.
Yeah.
I would be like, guys, you're doing the show. I'm hunting.
It's in a couple places. It's either in my room because I remember taking my little makeup bag that I have for games out of my purse.
Sure.
Like, I don't need to carry this around. I might have set my phone down when I did that. And it's either there or potentially at the valet when we got the car.
Can I propose a third choice that is kind of feasible? Or somebody grabbed it and is desperately trying to break into it and find pictures.
There's no pictures on it.
Just saying. That, I mean, I didn't say they're going to find them. I said they're trying to.
If you want to see, and it's a thumbprint one, and it's a
yes.
it's a
I can actually vouch Katie's not BSing because I've actually grabbed her phone before.
Yeah, it's
and
like pictures of my nieces and nephews pictures. And my dogs.
Yeah, they're all
and
dumb
like,
pictures. There's nothing
yeah,
good.
There's nothing you're going to find on no. there. So go ahead. Try and rip it off.
Fellas and lady, I would like to just roll. I want to roll through like four texts off the text line at 44-1140 based on our last topic on DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes.
You can call us at 339-1142. And you may be tempted to react. Let's react at the end just because I want to illustrate kind of the differences in opinion of Kings fans when we were talking about DeMarcus
right.
and crediting him for caring and being down here and being involved and being active and wanting to win, even when it's, you know, the offseason, blah, 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 blah. Guys, DeMarcus may want to be here in Sacramento, but if he wants to win so bad, then why doesn't he create a winning culture in the locker room and around the franchise? From the 209, not a Kings fan, but I respect DeMarcus Cousins. He's amazing on the floor, and he wants his team to compete. He talked highly of Willie Cauley-Stein on NBA TV yesterday. I wish he was on my team when we talked about him possibly staying here and signing a max deal.
Mm-hmm.
From the 209, if that's the case and he would re-sign, then Vlade should be writing that deal now, extend him beyond the original contract, and if you need to deal him, do it. If he did do that with the original terms of his deal for the next 2 years, still stay, or with the contract, new contract take over. I know James Harden just did an extension. Mm-hmm. This is a part of the CBA I'm a little cloudy about, so I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I do believe, based on what happened with Harden, and one of the Sacktown royalty nerds will know this better than me, I think they could extend him right now. I'm pretty sure they could.
I thought you had to wait until they were in their final year.
Maybe that's what it is, so
I
maybe it would have
so
to be
too.
Next year.
Yeah.
Again, unclear on this. That's part of CBA I'm not clear
and
about. So
I think that is the correct answer, that you have to wait until the final year. And
even
part of
then,
that
there's
is,
like a window during
yeah,
the season, right?
Believe,
like you can't after January 30th or something.
I believe that to be the case because
sure.
it's a protection for the players.
Yeah.
The CBA is there to protect the players. And if you extend a deal kind of prior to that, a lot can change in a year.
Of course.
And maybe the player doesn't want to be there anymore based on, you know, whatever happens in that time frame. So I think that's a protection for the players.
Finally, from the 916, DeMarcus is walking in 2 years. You have to trade him in February, which I always, that's always fun because I want to be like, and what else did he tell you? You know, if you know that. Now, I can't tell, as we said last segment, I can't tell this guy he's wrong. He might walk in 2 years. And maybe if the team continues the way in the next 2 years that it has over the last 2 years, yeah. And you know what? I wouldn't blame him. Go.
So obviously part of my job is that I'm around the team. And I one of the things that enables me to do my job well is to be able to form relationships with players where they trust me and I can talk to them. And it's not like everything I'm going to talk to them about is something that is going to then be reported from my conversations. And I feel like this is a fairly safe thing to say. I'm not, you know, kind of betraying any confidences or what have you. DeMarcus doesn't want to walk. Doesn't mean that in 2 years from now, if things don't change, that he won't. So this texter is both correct and incorrect.
I agree.
Does that make sense? Does that logic follow?
It's possible.
It's
Hold
possible.
On. Let me pull it. Sorry.
Something bad could happen.
Gotcha. Okay, Matt. I was going to thank you for Matt was saying something in my ear. I couldn't hear that confused me for a little bit. Yes, absolutely. You have a and here's the other question that a texter is bringing up. Well, if that's the case, then next year, and I don't know that they won't do this texter because it makes logical sense. If you can get him to sign an extension, well, then you wrap him up and you max him out next year. Why? Because you can always trade him. You can always trade him. You hold more of the pieces and more of the cards if you're able to do that. So that's DeMarcus, and there's a lot of back and forth, and that's always the big question. That's the heave-ho with DeMarcus. Well, if he wants to win so bad and he's so committed, then why does he have a problem building a winning culture? And I think DeMarcus is a part of that, and I think he'd admit that there are things he could do better in the way he carries himself in the locker room, but especially on the floor.
I don't think any player is perfect, but
no, but at the same
every play you can say that about
sure,
every player.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. But I don't think that one player on his own. It's kind of hard to build a winning culture when you never win.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you exactly where he was supposed to have learned that culture at this level. You know, I don't think he has that foundation, and that. That's why, not for lack of effort. I think it's a lack of knowing the path to building a winning culture. He's literally never seen that in the NBA. And how many players have been put around him that have A, seen that, and B, have the type of pull to influence DeMarcus, like Rondo last year.
And Caron Butler. That's what they tried to do.
And Caron really wasn't getting a ton of PT. I mean, that's tough. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know, asking someone to do something
you to build
that they're
a
not
car
capable
when
of doing.
You've never built a car or whatever
or
analogy
build
you want to
throw. Or a car
without
giving them all the parts.
Right, like exactly. Like, I know it needs an engine. I know sure. It needs four tires and some seats, a steering wheel, stuff like that. It, you know, spark plugs. I don't know where all the crap goes or how it connects with one another.
Here's a question off the taps. Go ahead.
Giving a spark plug for you know, a 57 Chevy when you have a 1999, you know, Toyota Corolla.
See, now I'm lost because I don't know cars. Yes.
Do you know about Ninja Rocks and what you can do with spark plugs?
No.
Okay, I don't want to know.
But now we're going off the rails. Do you want to tell me?
Yeah, I do. Like, Ninja Rocks are actually illegal in California.
What is a Ninja Rock?
What they do is, like, you take an old spark plug, and it's got to be one that's used so that it's, like, whatever the term is, electrified or...
Are we going to get sued if somebody tries this?
No. And there's something about the ceramic. Like, if you smash the old spark plug and you take those little bits of ceramic from the spark plug and you throw it against tempered glass, there's something about, like, the charge in the and like the way that the little ceramic things, like, it'll just splatter out tempered glass.
Oh wow.
Like, you can shatter out a car window just by firing
a spark plug at it.
Yeah, but it's like, it's got to be shattered into little pieces, the spark plug.
I assume this is on YouTube.
Oh yeah,
okay, well,
yeah,
have to you'll see it. This there in the break.
Sorry.
No. From the 707, maybe DeMarcus Cousins can learn from USA Basketball, which I think goes back to
full
our
circle.
Original point about this.
Yeah, full
big
circle.
Giant U-turn. And then finally, from the 916, why would DeMarcus Cousins walk? He gets everything he wants. And I think this is a popular misconception. It's correct and it's incorrect. It's correct in factuality that, yes, there's not a lot of things DeMarcus gets told no to here. But here's the reality of the situation. He's been here 6 years. They haven't made the playoffs once. There's a lot of tumultuousness in the history of this franchise since he's been here. Whether he's contributed to it or not, or some of it, it's been there. Here's how it works. He tells his agents, hey, you know what, I want out. Agents inform the team, you know what, he's not going to re-sign here. He wants out. You got to let him go. We're going to keep everything quiet and be professional, but you got to trade him. You have to trade him, or it's going to start. This is how it works in the NBA. Or he's going to start getting making sideways comments, and it's just going to be a bad situation. And we're not going to say anything because we know that's going to lower his value. But the longer you keep him on this team, the more we're going to start leaking stuff, and his value is going to go down and down and down. I'm just pulling back the curtain. This is how it works in the NBA. So the agents behind the scenes put the GM and the franchise on the clock. They're blackmailed because they know the longer they don't trade their star, the guy that wants out, the lower they're going to get a value for that person. Then they trade DeMarcus Cousins to another team. Okay. Then DeMarcus goes to that team, and the assumption is that team, maybe perhaps a current playoff team. That's where they want to go. I want to go to Cleveland. I want to go to Golden State. I want to go to Oklahoma City. They send a list of teams that they want to go to that they will accept, not accept a trade, but that they would be happy with. The team tries to oblige them. Then he goes to a playoff team. He makes the same amount of money, contract-wise. He probably makes more money because there aren't a lot of markets smaller than Sacramento, so his endorsements, he gets a few extras there. He gets everything he wants in Sacramento. The difference is he would get everything he wants in pretty much any other city he went to. The one thing,
he's just that damn good.
Yes, but the one thing he doesn't get here so far that he wants is the playoffs, which he would assumedly get somewhere else. So it's not like the team holds all the cards with him. It's not like DeMarcus is staying here because he has no choice or because he's a max player or whatever. No. It works both ways, so you have to give some credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
On to the youngsters. Yesterday, the Kings continued to, like I said, keep their perfect record going. They fall to 0-3, 70-66 in a game. They were up at the half, and then New Orleans blew them out in the third, 27-11. Big scores. Scal Labissiere, 16 points. Labissiere, 16 points on 6-14, shooting to go with 6 boards. David Stockton, 12.7 or 4 assists, 7 fouls. And we talked earlier, one of those fouls, hard foul, involving him and members of the Pelicans that started a skirmish underneath the basket, a big skirmish right in front of us. And guess who jammed right in there and started tossing bodies everywhere? If it wasn't Big Papa, the 18-year-old rookie, who's very strong.
He's strong.
Throwing people around like rag dolls and didn't hesitate for a second.
He immediately came to the aid of his teammate.
To come to the aid of a teammate he's known for about 35 minutes. Thoughts on some of the guys from yesterday?
Well, I actually got some questions about you were talking specifically about Yorgos Papianis. He's young. He's what, 7'2"?
7'2", 18.
And every inch of it, by the way.
Yeah. No, he's a thick boy. He's gonna continue to develop. So he's not the quickest. He's never going to be the quickest. You can't expect, there's not a whole lot of 7'2" dudes out there that is gonna have the speed and quickness that, you know, you're gonna get out of a power forward or a small forward, for example. But you guys mentioned it, he has the ability to back guys down. He just has not figured out how to
finish. He doesn't know what to do.
He doesn't know what to do with it when he's there. And so that is part of the development thing. He's a little out of shape, which every single person playing in summer league right now is a little bit out of shape. So not only will he continue to develop, and I think that his strength is maybe one of the most impressive things for me right now, because a lot of times with big guys, that is the one thing they're lacking when they're younger, especially 18. He's about to be 19 years old. The strength is not there at this point. I was surprised at how strong he is. So the development really for him starts with his conditioning and being able to develop a couple go-to moves around the basket, which I don't think are out of the question at this point. I think he's a step ahead of where I thought he would be because of the strength factor alone.
He's kind of got a little bit of that Mark Gasol body when Mark Gasol first came into the league.
Big thickness.
Yeah, and then, you know, like a couple years in fact, it was like over the course of one offseason, he just shed weight and got cut and became Mark Gasol. He wasn't Powell's little brother anymore. So, that was interesting. The matchup that I wanted to see last night and got plenty of was Malachi Richardson and Buddy Hield.
Yes.
That was it. That was what admission was for this guy last night. And there was a lot of peripherals. That was a pretty interesting matchup. I mean, Buddy Hield ended up with a pretty good stat line. Malachi Richardson didn't shoot the ball quite as well as he did the night before, but you know that's gonna come and go. I thought his defense is a lot better than on Buddy Hield than the box score would indicate, especially in the first half. The majority of Buddy Hield's points came in the second half.
Yes.
It wasn't necessarily efficient.
No, and they were mostly on jump shots off the catch. And I know that this is not the guy on our team, but this kind of comes back to Malachi Richardson. I was very underwhelmed with Buddy Hield, that's why we let the guys that scout, like that actually see these guys in person, because what I saw out of Buddy Hield last night is, A, Malachi Richardson's a pretty good defender. B, Buddy Hield, I don't know if he's got the quickness to warrant the pick. He was not as good as I thought that he would be. He doesn't have the quick. He's not quick enough to play point at 6'4". He's just not. He was having trouble getting around Malachi Richardson, creating space off the dribble. And this is a guy in Richardson that's probably not going to be a lockdown defender right away.
Well, and we were kind of discussing this yesterday. There's a couple different ways, and we have to be very careful about summer league because it's one of those things. The guys come in. They're trying to, maybe they push a little bit too much in terms of trying to do too much because it's summer league and you want to stand out. They're not in shape. They're not adjusted to the NBA yet. So one game, you have to make sure that you put it in perspective. It's one game. Buddy Hield is not very quick. This is my first time seeing him in person. Not very quick. He definitely has an NBA body right now, but the speed and agility and quickness isn't what I thought it would be. Malachi Richardson, I'm very impressed with and have been in just the two summer league games that I've seen. I think he's only going to continue to get better because he's extremely athletic. He's a lockdown defender in the sense that he dedicates himself to it. And yes, he's going to get better at that, especially in a team concept. But Buddy Hield yesterday looked very slow. He put up 23 shots. He was 10 of 23, 3 of 12 from long range. And his misses were not long or short. They were left or right by a foot. So That is something you have to be
and
concerned
about. He hit one shot that was like the Beno Udrich line drive.
Yes.
Just
straight and narrow. So that, to me, he was wearing a knee brace on his left knee. So I don't know. A lot of these guys come in and they mm-hmm. get injured because they're not – these guys are practicing every day, playing every day. Like, we were talking to Chris Clark yesterday, Dave with the Kings, he's the PR guy. They likely will have today off. They won't have practice because they haven't had a day off sure. since they've gotten to summer league. So, yeah, you're mm-hmm. seeing injuries. We haven't seen Isaiah Cousins because I believe it's a groin injury. These guys are getting hurt. So I'm like, okay, let's reserve our yeah. opinions on Buddy Hield right now. There's some things that you look at and you're like, I don't think mm-hmm. that he warrants the pick that he was. And maybe Malachi might end up being a steal at where he is. But I don't know. Maybe he's a step slow because he's injured his knee, or maybe this is really who he is.
I know stats don't. Yeah. No, oh, sorry, Nate. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just one of the things I look for, whether it's summer league or I look for this a lot in like the rookie sophomore challenge too over the All-Star break is how are these guys doing against their peers?
Yes.
Right. You know, Malachi Richardson and Buddy Hield, those guys, they're on the same level. You know, mm-hmm. and I thought. The box score maybe doesn't say it, but I thought Malachi Richardson was the better player last
yeah.
night.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and that's where I'm getting at, because you guys talked about Papagiannis and you talked about Buddy Hield, and I know that stats don't tell the whole story. They really don't. And we're in summer league, and you have to take into account the competition, mm-hmm. and you also have to take, you know, these are not NBA players for the most part they're playing against. I don't disagree with everything you guys said. I thought Buddy Hield looked great, and I thought Papagiannis looked like garbage. I thought Papagiannis looked like hot garbage that doesn't belong in summer league, much less in the NBA yesterday. Now, granted,
I agree with
that's
that.
That's his first couple of games, and he's coming off the knee tendonitis,
no, okay.
and you can't take a lot out of summer league. But I almost felt bad for the guy out there. He looked so out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he could do: be big and move people.
Yeah,
but as far as touch.
Yeah.
As far as movement, as far as his ability, I'm not saying in 2 years or a year or whatever, he's not going to show tremendous signs, but we're doing a pretty big leap of faith right here with, well, he's 7'2 and he's 18, assuming he's going to get better. He looked like a rec league, and I'm being serious, he looked like a rec league player out there.
Guess what? The main problem, and this is going to be the case with him from this point on until he develops into the NBA player that the Kings think he is going to become. There, if he was taken at 28 instead of 13,
sure.
this wouldn't even be a conversation
sure,
right now.
Sure, but he wasn't.
Yes, I know. But
I mean, I know you know, but that's
you that, can't change that.
Of course, you can't. So we have to grade the guy, and we're grading the guy not based on necessarily where he was picked. We're grading the guy based on him playing in the summer league, and a guy that is going to, assumedly, barring some craziness, be on the 12-man roster next year and be getting minutes because you have to do that with your first-round pick. I'm not throwing in the towel on this guy, and I'm not being naive to think that this is who Papagiannis is. He's raw. He's 18. He's all arms and legs right now. But I thought he looked like trash in the game. And with Buddy Hield, despite the fact that he looked, I mean, we're, again, stats don't tell the whole story. 23 points, 7 boards, 5 assists,
really
3
bad,
assists.
Though.
He had some hard misses, and Malachi shut him down mm-hmm. in the first half. But he figured it out a little in the second
right.
half.
But see, what I saw is a guy that Buddy Hield is a shooter.
Okay? Yes.
He hit shots
yes.
and he got hot. What I was struggling with in the first half was almost all of his scoring moves, his go-tos, his step-back moves, his first step is not breaking anybody. You know, and
this
at one
is
point,
summer league.
Yes, and
sure.
at one point in the second half, he comes down the left side. He's on the wing. He's being guarded by Jared Utoff, who is a pretty mm-hmm. good college player, but
yes.
is not going to get a ton of run in the NBA in all likelihood. He tries to step back on Jared Utoff and gets sent into the sixth row.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yep.
that's a red flag to me.
They're learning. They're absolutely.
What did we talk about earlier with Jimmy?
I get hung up when Buddy Hield knows the move, right? He's got the scoring moves. You don't have to teach him the technique. If you don't have the bounce to make that move work, it doesn't
right.
be, you know, I could go out there and do a turnaround jumper on DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to send me into the sixth row. I know the move. I know the footwork.
Sure.
Okay, so there's a concern that I have with Buddy Hield. And
can
it's,
you tell
it's,
us?
It's,
what,
yes,
okay.
but it's very similar to our conversation earlier with Jimmer, and we'll talk about that after the next break. But right now, it's 7:57. Time to drive safe, but if you're in an accident, visit Gamboas.com for free online estimate.
We'll continue this when we get back. Also, we spoke to Jimmer Fredette and DeMarcus Cousins yesterday. We'll re-rack that audio as we enter the final hour already live from Las Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. Check them out online, jiffyloopca.com. They've got you covered. Right back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.